Service Radio.
Welcome to the Dolcezza Sherbert Experience on Full Service Radio. We're broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I am your host, Violeta Edelman, founder and owner of Dolcezza Gelato, and I'm here with my co-host,
Rob Duncan, also co-founder of Dolcezza Gelato and Coffee here in D.C.
We're gelato makers, guys. We have 10 retail locations, and we have a factory in Northeast D.C. where we make small batch gelato every day since 2004. Our guest today is Paige Trevor. Paige is a parent, educator, and a professional organizer. So if you're a parent out there or you're planning on being a parent one day, this show is definitely for you. We met Paige at PEP, which is short for Parent Encouragement Program. It's a parenting education organization here in the Washington area. Rob and I have three small girls, ages 8, 5, and 2, almost 2. And we went to PEP a little bit out of desperation. 3 or 4 years ago, there were a lot of fights and meltdowns and drama in our house. So we decided that we needed help figuring out how to be better parents. And that's how we met Paige. She helped us tremendously with her amazing sense of humor and her zen approach to parenting. And I can really say that our relationship with our children changed for the better. So welcome, Paige, and thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for all those kind words.
I want to start by explaining to people a little bit more of what PEP is. PEP is based on democratic parenting. So tell us a little bit about what democratic parenting means.
So PEP is based on a psychiatrist that was around the time of Freud named Alfred Adler. And his concept is that all of our behavior is geared towards belonging to whatever group we're in. And the idea is that our kids misbehave with mistaken ideas of how to belong to the group. And at PEP, we think the mission is to grow a grown-up rather than helping little kids. So we offer lots of techniques like training and listening to kids and knowing about development so that there can be mutual respect and more harmonious households instead of fighting and power struggles, which is what brings people to PEP.
You know, I'll go back. I'll never forget the moment where Bialetta and I were sitting there talking about, oh, shit, we're not doing, we don't know what we're doing, but we know whatever it is we're doing is not the right way. And it was on the beaches in Uruguay when another meltdown of our first older child, Pema. And obviously the insufficient or the poor way of handling that meltdown, which all kids do and should have. Mm-hmm. And I remember Bialetta saying, you know, we need help. We need to find out what it is that we're doing wrong and all that. And I just remember I think this is probably common from the male perspective of like, nah, I'm not going to go get help mm-hmm. for parenting. That's such a lame thing to even admit to oneself or let alone to let anybody else know. You know, I think it's a similar thing of like, the cliche of the couple driving around and then saying the man's going to say, hell no, I'm not going to get directions.
Yeah.
And the lady says, yeah, we should. And it's so funny to have that experience of the prejudices from the male, from the man perspective of going in to get help on parenting.
Well, it's, you know, I think it's interesting because we get information, you know, before we have a baby, we go to a bunch of classes and we take classes to learn how to drive a car. And the idea of parenting as something that you can learn about is should not be that foreign. I think it should come with the delivery of your child when you receive it. You should definitely take a class about preschoolers because 4-year-olds are designed to have tantrums and every parent is surprised by that. And then you should have a class for teenagers because you have this great middle ground when your kids are in elementary school and the teen years are really, they're challenging.
Believe me, that's when we're coming back and seeing
yeah.
you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Once they get to there,
absolutely.
We're going to
SOS. And there's so much, and I think when we isolate ourselves as parents and we think we're the only ones and the tantrums happen behind closed doors, and then when you see other people's Facebook pages and it looks like their kid is crafting and doing all these exciting things, PEP really offers this support and this idea that we're really good at some stuff and other parents are really good at other stuff and we can learn together.
I felt yeah. that one of the great things that happened there was that the act of sharing was already healing. Mm-hmm. And it felt like a safe space to say things that you don't share at drop-off, such as, you know, my kid called me a bitch and kicked me. You know, all those things that you don't say at the park. When you're talking about, like you're saying, extracurricular activities mm-hmm. or, you know, all the great things. So it felt like a safe space in that sense. And so tell me more about how this functions as a support group.
Okay, so, you know, PEP offers lots of different classes. So you can do, we have hour-long online classes now, which is pretty amazing. And then we have two-hour workshops, and then we have long classes, which you guys took with me, which was the PEP 2 class?
PEP 1 and 2.
And then we went okay. straight to 2.
Oh, my gosh, which is so fun. So there are classes that take you through the concept of that the relationship is really the main part of parenting. And so I always think of the parenting goal is not quiet and not straight A's, but the parenting goal is to be invited to their house at Thanksgiving when they're 30. And if we keep that as a goal, then we worry less about if they did it exactly the way that we said, or, you know, all the things that make us really tense. So we talk about lots of things like power struggles, anger management, and we always go after things with the positive. What's working right? What are the strengths your children have? An idea is that you cannot build on weakness. And so instead of weeding the garden of our child, we just plant perennials. And that's having fun together. That's listening to the child. That's training the child how to do self-care and help out with the family. That's actually enjoying your child, because cooperation comes from respect, and then that feeds into having a good time together.
You know, the one thing that I always remember from the classes was, and again, to go against the prejudice of going in there, mm-hmm. was it was just such basic common sense. That basically to for example, birth order.
Yeah.
Like a birth order of your children matters. And here's kind of the generalities of the birth order. The first one is always going to want to be first and mm-hmm. be in control and this and that. And then, this, you know, if you have a middle child, a third child, mm-hmm. et cetera, that has the same tendencies just simply because the order of birth. And so by understanding or hearing something like that, what it did was it automatically removed a problem that was not really a problem, meaning that if our older child was always wanting to run up the stairs and run first and be ahead of the second child, maybe before the class we'd be like, come on, Pima, it's not important to mm-hmm. be first. And then when we go to your class and here are some behaviors.
Basic psychology.
Yeah, basic psychology, which happens to be on the birth order. All of a sudden it's like, oh shit, that's because she was born first, and so I no longer need to try to correct something. And it's just, that seems mm-hmm. to apply. And the
Absolutely.
Thing is, the common senseness of the PEP class mm-hmm. is what really resonated, I think, strongly with Bielette and I, is because it's like, it was like such deep psychology, such deep common sense, that is not only for being a parent, it's just for being, trying to be a good human being, you know?
And I think parenting is really tricky because we're both looking backwards at how we were parented, and we often either do the opposite or the same. And then we're looking forward to try to fix all of those problems. And my kids are 18 and 20, and what I have learned humbly is you're not going to fix all the problems. It's how can you go through this journey together where you like each other, you respect each other, and you can help each other. And things like birth order, when I went to PEP, I'm the youngest in my family of origin, and parenting an oldest child is very difficult for a youngest child. And it was exactly what you said, Rob, which is you found out your child wasn't a jerk. He was just simply an oldest child. And it doesn't mean that you can't suggest other ways to do things. It doesn't mean that you can't have the second child run up the stairs first. It just means that you parent that child with a lot more compassion than trying to fix birth order out of the child.
Yeah. Yes.
I want to remind everyone that we are at listening to the Dolcezza Sherbert Experience on Full Service Radio, and that we're here with Paige Trevor, and she's a parent educator and a professional organizer. I think we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back in a couple of minutes. Thank you, Paige.
The music you're listening to is by a local producer named Flash Frequency. The song is called Iceland. Be right back.
Hey guys, we are back at Dolcezza Sherbert Experience on Full Service Radio. We're here with Paige Trevor. She's a parent and a professional organizer. Hey Paige, I want to pick up on what we were just talking. You were just saying, hey, who are we parenting? Is it our younger self or is it our kid? And I love your blog, and you had great examples there. You know, is it, did I party too much in college and now I'm, you know, put my kids in lockdown? Or did I have a super controlling parenting and then now I let them do whatever? Mm-hmm. So basically, I want you to expand on this and give me some examples on how can we overcome this tendency? How can we accept our kids for who they are? And that is so important.
Yeah. Well, I think that people who are attracted to parenting classes often think they can fix their kids. And Pep, I remember when I went in the first time when I went to my own class and they said, you know, you can only have control over one person in the whole world, and that's yourself. And I wanted my money back because I thought, I'm not broken. My child is. So, but once I sat there and realized that to know your child is skills like listening to your child, which we don't do. I have taught classes for over a decade, and I will tell you, people say all the time, I know what they're going to say. And you really don't know what your kid says and thinks. And I think that having a child and being a parent, again, you go back to fix your own problems, and which is completely natural. And the way to stop doing it is simply noticing that you're doing it. And once you start speaking it out loud that your child has different problems than you had, they're born, you know, we are born on a mountain, we journey to another mountain, and that new mountain is where a kid is born, and it's completely different. And so I think people get really stuck in, and they get mad at their kids that they don't appreciate the gifts that they've worked so hard to give them. But the kid is born with that gift, so they don't appreciate. They don't necessarily behave in the equation that we think they will. We all have equations in our head, right? Like, I take you to an amusement park, and then you come home and clean your room, and you're nice to me. And that's the equation. And kids, we know, are not designed. They go to an amusement park and have 4 pounds of sugar, and they come home, and they really need to watch TV and hit their brother. So they have a totally different equation.
That totally sounds like
reality.
And
I feel like one of the reasons why we do all this is because we tend to occupy ourselves with our kids' lives, and by doing that, filling out the void of looking at our own crap. And that's the key that, you know, I got out of Pep and out of parenting classes and out of you and reading books, is it like we need to look within.
Yeah.
We need to deal with our own sense of failure or whatever it is that is there and feel it and change who you are. Don't change your kid. It's not your kid. It's yourself.
And by automatically focusing on your own stuff, you automatically indirectly fix the problem. And that's another key thing as far as it's not the kid's problem. It's actually the parent's problem. And that right there resonates so deeply in everything, every problem that we have on this planet.
Yeah.
It's a lack of awareness into the own self, the dark and the light, and that's why we have shit that went down in Florida and that continues to go on because we have adults that drive this country that drive this world that are so fucking clueless of who the hell they are, their own darkness, mm-hmm. their own shit, their own light, mm-hmm. their own enlightenment. Nobody has a clue. And because of the marketplace and its power, mm-hmm. they don't care because they want the next thing and they want to have the next post of the photo. So it appears this and that. That, you yeah. know, not to go way too far out of PEP orbit, but that's, you know, it's all the same thing.
Yeah.
It's a lack of awareness of a parent that doesn't know what the hell they want, how to treat their own self,
right?
How to deal with their own demons. And so how in the hell they're going to be able to handle little kids running around yeah. Doing the same thing.
Yeah. And I think that the child, I always, there's always a kid that makes you call PEP. There's always one on everyone's. You wear name tags and PEP with your kid's name and ages. And there's always one that brings you there. And I think they're the biggest gift, because once you realize, you know, once you come and you get information and you're around support, then you put yourself right in the driver's seat. And I always make the analogy, it is so much easier for me to go to PEP and teach you guys how to be a parent than it is to actually go home and be a parent. I'm an empty nester now, and I've never been a better parent in my life.
Because, well
said. So I think that it's, and I also think that our expectations of our kids' happiness has really gotten in the way. The thing people really come complaining about is, and they're very stressed about, are their kids' strong emotions. And what I know for sure is people have strong emotions their whole life.
And happiness can't be given.
No, happiness can, right. Happiness is a byproduct. It is not a destination.
What is happiness, right? Happiness to me is being self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. It's being resilient. It's being able to function on your own and not depending. Mm-hmm. And I think that going back to helicopter parenting that is so, you know, in trend right now, we tend to rescue our kids and we handicap them.
Yeah.
And so how can we support without rescuing?
Supporting without rescuing is really an art. And if you're someone who can't, I had this experience with one of my kids where we went to the toy store, and I'm not big on loaning money, and I think credit cards get people in a lot of trouble. And so he wanted to borrow money to buy, he was like seven, some crappy thing. And I loaned him the money, and I said, you know, when you come home, you have to give it to, you know, you have to pay me back. And he bought it, and by the time he got home, it was broken. So he had to fork over the $11, which was a lot for a seven-year-old, and he was screaming and crying and carrying on. And because of my PEP training, my thought wasn't, stop it, be quiet, I told you, this was the agreement, you know, all the agreement stuff we do, you're not allowed to cry, I warned you about this. Instead, I thought to myself, you know, better to experience this now at seven than be 25 and start figuring out credit cards and being like, whoops, that's Starbucks, and then maybe it wasn't worth it. So I think that if we can reframe it, that all these experiences that they're upset about, that they grapple with, that they're ashamed of, that they're scared of, it's all practice for when we're not there. So instead of being someone who makes them feel a certain way, we're the witness and the interpreter and the soft beanbag chair so they can have the strong feelings without, you know, the real world ramifications of a debt collector.
Yes. I feel like a lot of what we go through as families and as humans, it's because we're so stressed out, right? Mm-hmm. And a big part of the problem is that, you know, our children reflect the overall stress level of the family. And you talk about this in your blog, and I love one of your entries that says, you know, you talk about junk food stress, such as overscheduling, overspending, scrolling mindlessly through social media, you know, the super combo of booze, caffeine, sugar that we ingest all the time to, you know, fill out the void, versus nurturing stress. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about what we can do to balance out our stress levels.
It's funny because last night I was on a conference call with some people who had just finished a boot camp, and I think the child was six, and the parent said, I was gone, and the child was really said, you know, it was so nice you were gone because you're so stressed out and you rush too much. And I said to that parent, you do rush too much. We are too fast. Kids are not designed to be on time and do things in 2 seconds. And the stress level is, I think that we do it to ourselves, a lot of it. And I think to start off by being mindful of it and to look at things that are nourishing stress as still stressful. So things like someone after that blog, someone emailed me and said, I never really thought about menu planning as stressful, and it is, and that's why I avoid it. But when you look at it as, okay, this is nourishing stress, so this is the kale that I'm going to eat and I'll feel better later, then you will be guided to it rather than the stress that is really negative. We're not going to get rid of stress, and having kids is stressful. So I think just trying to balance it out and not keeping on turning to booze, caffeine, and scrolling, and not sleeping. The sleep part is really, Michael Bradley is a teens expert, and he wrote a book called Crazy Busy, and he said that he thinks many of the diagnosed and medicated problems our teens are having is truly a lack of sleep, because they need about 9 hours and they're probably getting 6.
If we could only, take care of our bodies and minds,
yeah,
and be kinder to each other, right? We would change the world, guys. Well, you don't need to go to a parenting class.
Yeah, and I think one giant thing that we learn in parenting classes is how our self-talk gets in the way, and our self-talk is really stressful. And what happens in a pep class is all those shoulds, they should be quiet, they shouldn't talk back to me, they should eat their vegetables. You get around a bunch of parents and you realize everybody's life is a hot mess, and you start talking to yourself in ways that are more empowering and encouraging.
And it seems like also modern day, like the times also make a difference on this whole thing. I mean, I am an American and born here, raised here in different parts of the U.S. I'm a number one critic, and always have been, of the culture here, mm-hmm, and how it sees the family unit, or the lack,
yeah,
of the family unit. And it's something that, to me, in traveling all around the world, this country has, it's really fucked up as far as how it treats the family unit.
Yes.
And actually does not prioritize that first.
Yes.
In this, that when I spent time down in Brazil way back in 98 to 2000, and when I came back, that's when I was so blown away. I was like, I just felt the difference, radical difference, down in South America. Was down there, number one, far and away, priority is family, community, friends, and then you got to get a job to be able to support and pay, mm-hmm, for all of that life that you like doing. Here in the United States, it's the opposite. First is the people's career, material, status, car, house,
mm-hmm,
then your family, community, friends.
Mm-hmm.
That right there, I really feel, is the root of the fucked upness that we have, and really in this country. I mean, that's one of the deep roots of that. And another one of these things that's, again, I get way out on tangents, I know that, but that's kind of what makes me, is the other thing is in this country that I saw such a huge difference, and I say this to everybody I see, is the breastfeeding of a baby here in this country. Where here in this country, and I went through, I never thought about this until I went through it with Bialetta and our kids, is here when you breastfeed a baby, it's to be covered up. It's not to be in public. It's offensive. It's erotic.
Mm-hmm.
It is something weird. Where you go down to South America and pretty much everywhere else on this globe, and it's such a natural thing to be sitting at dinner and have a lady pull out her breast and suckle her baby. And there's nothing weird about that.
Yeah.
That right there, I always say, that shows how deep the psychopathy is in this country, because something that's as important as for survival of our species, of suckling a baby, has now become weirded out. That's so deep. That,
yeah,
goes so deep. And you know, there's so many deep root problems with the family unit in this country that is not so much, I mean, modern day has now affected everywhere, and it's more so,
yeah,
all the time, but those are some of the key differences that I really see that make it more difficult in this country to be a good parent, because the water that we swim in, you're going against it, and that,
yeah,
makes it even more harder.
I do think there's systemic problems in terms of quality childcare and expectations of how much people should work in a day to support families. So I just did a talk at a corporation, and we called it Transforming Overwhelm. And the woman who hired me said, why do you think parents are so overwhelmed these days? And I said, because society, our America, does not support the family. We don't support, people taking time off to take care of the infant and get bonded to it, and we don't pay our child care workers enough money, and we certainly don't pay our teachers enough money, and we don't. The other thing I think that is American that gets in the way of parenting is people want one solution. So they want one solution. They want to know, I call it Amazon Prime parenting now, because people want to get the solution to the problem. My 7-year-old said this, and now I want to solve it. And I think that gets in the way of having a long-term relationship with your child, because they're not problems to be solved. They're people to love.
And that's another thing. Going back again to the common sense approach that mm-hmm. resonated with Pep was, it comes down to the relationship. First and foremost, how much time are you spending with your child?
Mm-hmm.
And again, and it always first start there before you get into any technique or thing specific that you want to try to apply. First go and actually have what you, I think you called the special time
exactly.
or something like that in the class, was just like actually make mm-hmm. time to hang out with your child and do whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, and that right there, again, indirect.
Without lecturing, without nagging.
Right.
Right. So, we offer up this tool called Special Time, and it's 20 minutes once a week that you schedule with your child. And I always tell people to act like the grandma. Don't act like they're a child to be fixed. And so if they count incorrectly when they're playing sorry, you can let it go. And I also think that's like dating your child. Someone in my neighborhood called me up and said, I hate my child. And I'm like, well, we all do it sometime. And that's when you need to take the child for a date. And that's what special time does. Because we then bring our better selves and they get to bring their better selves. Because at the end of the day, all our kids really want is to be loved and admired.
Yeah. It's so important to remember that. I want to remind our listeners that we are at listening to Dolcezza Sherbert Experience on Full Service Radio, and we're here with Paige Trevor. Paige is a parent educator and a professional organizer. And Paige, you are a professional organizer, and we haven't talked about that, but we have on a way, right? We were talking about what defines, you know, us as parents and society, and how material things define our status. And we feel like that's a total trap, you know, that what we found out through our own experience, Rob and I, is that letting go in general has brought so much freedom to our lives. Letting go of false expectations, mm-hmm. letting go of possessions, letting go of having control over your kids. So what has been, you know, the process for you? You know, what have you learned from letting go, and how important is that in your teaching?
Well, it's funny because I started my professional organizing business because I wanted to stay home with my kids. So it was a little tiny business I started just because I could do a couple hours here, a couple hours there. And then as they grew up, I never considered that organizing and parent education were related. And, you know, 10, 15 years later, I realized that you can solve a lot of relationship problems by decluttering your head, your calendar, and your kids' room. And I do an exercise in classes where I ask participants, if you had a 4-year-old who wasn't your 4-year-old, how many books would you expect them to pick up off the floor at your house? And so what would you guys say? How many books could like a chubby little 4-year-old pick up before you got, you know?
Yeah,
one,
I mean,
with good luck.
Well, one with good luck.
If they're not my child, you know, there's...
Well, it's a cooperative 4-year-old.
One or two.
Yeah. Right, so people
and
say...
And I would
anywhere,
be so happy. Like, so oh, happy. Such a good kid. My kid, on the other hand.
Well, that's a really good point, too, is there's a great parent educator called Wendy Mogul, and she's written 2 books, Blessings of a Skin Knee for the Little Kids and Blessings of a B- for the Big Kids. And when she talks about teenagers, she said, you should pretend that your teen is a foreign exchange student that lives in your basement, because then you wouldn't care so much. And the caring can often make us crazy. But going back to the decluttering part is, you know, people answer 0 to 10. And most 4-year-olds in the Metro DC area have literally hundreds of books in their room. So just their bedrooms are so filled with things that we give them because we love them, but we fight over. And so where can you declutter? And we are in a rush. And the 3-year-olds are like drunken sailors. They are not designed to walk in a straight line, and they are not designed to have thoughts that are logical, and they're not designed to sit still for a long time.
And I think that's one of the ways that we create stress in our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, we accumulate crap, and everybody that has kids out there knows that once you have kids, craps just multiply.
Do you do house calls on decluttering?
Well, yeah, no, I mean, so that was my business. That was my business. And what I found was I never, ever talked to a busy family decluttering when I wasn't talking about parenting. And then I never go to a parenting class where I don't talk about, hey, you guys, have you thought of, you know, getting rid of some stuff. You know, people's front hallways, I walk in, each kid has about 10 pairs of shoes. And then every morning, it's a nightmare with the shoes. And so if you, I always say, you know, one tool we have as parents is a fully formed prefrontal cortex, which is the CEO part of our brain. And that's something we need to activate more often rather than waiting around for a five-year-old to pick out one of 10 or 12 pairs of shoes. So we remove 10 pairs of shoes. They have a choice of two. And on the way we go, we diminish some of the upset. One thing is parenting. If you live with more than one person, it's going to be noisy. And so expecting people to be cooperative and sweet and quiet all the time is unrealistic. Yeah.
Yeah, there's something about the ability to open up and enjoy the chaos
yes.
of the moment that is kind of needed to be able to enjoy having
kids. Which is very
kids.
Much changing your perspective. That's mm-hmm. all that it is, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything is
well,
about changing
perspective. Well, it's
seeing
it as not broken.
Seems.
And yeah. so it's seeing it as this is four-year-olds, they have tantrums, that's what they do. And so not seeing it as broken and not running, I call it white knuckle parenting, when you're trying to make it different than the way it is.
Yeah, I found out that during the parenting class, that was one of the main things that I saw, you know, is people just, you know, complaining or feeling that their kids were not what they wanted them to be. Mm-hmm. And looking at it from the outside, you know, I was like, well, you know, like maybe it's just our perspective. Maybe we just need mm-hmm. to change the way we looked at them, and then
yeah.
everything is going to be okay.
And so we talk not just about birth order, but we talk about temperament. So we talk about whether we're a good match temperamentally. Are we really active and the kid is less active and we have conflict over it? Are we really adaptable, but the kid needs solid routine, and then that can be a
and
source
so
of conflict?
It's so much about being in the present moment in mm-hmm. that sense. And mm-hmm. that's what makes parenting so such a like exercise on, you know, mindfulness. Because the only way is tuning in into what it is and what your kid needs, and your kid is its own person mm-hmm. and it's evolving and changing, and every time you try to impose an agenda, it backfires. Oh, that's what happens to me and Rob. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you were talking about is like yeah. People come in to want the one solution for all
yeah.
and that's the opposite. And again, it applies to everything else. It's about being present all the time, which is totally impossible, right? But that's
well,
what it truly
well,
is.
You know, I think it's about and there's another parent educator, Allison Schaefer, who I interviewed for an article. And she, instead of, we tend to either parent where the parent is in charge and the children have to do what we say, or we do permissive parenting, which is the child is in charge and we do what they say. And she said, let's just get rid of the whole paradigm and change it to what are the needs of the situation and are we delivering it with mutual respect? Because we certainly are allowed to have an agenda, and we might need an agenda. And then how, though, are we delivering the agenda with mutual respect, and is it meeting the needs of the situation, or is it just that I feel better when homework is done right after school?
No,
I feel
about
better
that.
When you take a... People get really into bathing. Like, that's a thing. Like, the
bathing,
kid has to take...
Toothbrush.
Well, toothbrush is health and safety, but, you know, like, the... So you kind of have to do that once a day, but the bathing, like... You can go a long time, I think, without bathing.
Yeah,
so.
That's a difference of opinion that Violetta
yeah.
and I have.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it.
Our kids are bathing once a week.
Yeah.
The people out there,
yeah.
they're
just
bathing
get, just,
on Sundays.
We have three girls, so it's to get their knots out,
essentially. Yeah, yeah. Well, bathing once a week is like, it shouldn't be no bathing, but I mean, because that's not meeting the needs of the situation either.
I think I went a whole summer without bathing. I was in the pool all the time, but it was
kind of bathing. That's kind of bathing. But I think just switching up that paradigm, which is what are the needs of a situation and am I delivering it with mutual respect, which then makes us neither the doormat nor the autocratic person who's telling them how it's going to go down. Because kids need to be led. Kids really need limits and boundaries, and they need routine, and they may not like all of those things. And so when they don't like something, we can take it as information, but we don't have to capitulate.
And, you know, with Dolcezza and running a business with a lot of employees and all that, that's something that coming from the PEP classes, it's so you can apply it so much to having a lot of employees and running a business, because it really applies to respecting the other.
Yeah.
Being aware and respecting the other.
When I do work and when I start any class, I usually start with what are your problems? Right. And so what are the normal parenting problems, you guys?
Power struggles.
Yeah.
Getting up. Rivals,
chores.
School,
yelling and
dressed,
screaming.
Going to bed.
High emotions. Fashion. Picky eating and devices. It's the same devices. List, whether it's like a 2-year-old class of parents of 2-year-olds or teenagers. And these aren't problems that are personal to parents and kids. These are people living with people problems, because people of the same age, my husband and I have very different ideas of where devices go in the house and how much you use them.
I remember all the time in the class, you would get to when the word device would come up, you would always say, look, we really can't get into this. This is such a deep subject that I think you said you had another class on or something. Can you spend 2 minutes on what you think about like devices for young kids? Because that's a major thing. And it's 10 years old. This is a 10-year-old problem. Like, we're the first generation that has to actually deal with devices.
Yeah. Yeah. So we are pioneers. I wrote a blog about that, you know, we don't know all the answers. And so I think using that metaphor of pioneers, we have to circle the wagons. We have to talk to each other. We have to do research. And then we have to let them go into the wilderness, because pioneers didn't stay safe the whole time. I think there needs to be a lot more common sense around devices. That is it good to sit and look at a screen for a bunch of time? Is the screen buying you quiet and not teaching the kid how to sit in a restaurant or how to be in a doctor's office for 20 minutes? And two, if we find that we are doing these things, how can we diminish it, not stop cold turkey? Because I think they've kind of become pacifiers. And so we hand them to get quiet. There's an old book called, I'm not going to remember it. It'll come to me in a second. But it's an old book more based on TV. And her message was, what are you giving up when you buy quiet? And even sibling fighting is better than quiet. They're learning a lot more than they are on screens. I think that there's a lot of research coming out that how parents interact with their screens is very impactful on kids. So having our little noses in our screens and having the excuse, I hear this all the time, but I use it for work. And so that's back to your point, Rob, like work is the main thing, and I get to have it anytime. So it's examining whether we're modeling the device being more important than our kid. I think doing things like taking a Saturday off, you know, regular times off, is really good. I think having the ecology of your house back up where devices go and where devices don't go. And it isn't that the iPad won't go up to a bedroom, but it's that you can bring it back down and say, this is where devices go. I went and I heard a talk, and the expert was saying that some kids are dandelions and they're hardy and it won't impact them, and some kids are orchids, so they'll get addicted to the screens. It's a thing.
Yeah.
So I don't, it's not innocuous, and it's not all bad for sure. And I think the other part that irritates me is that there are screens and our internet and we pay for it, and then we're victimized by our children because they want it. And so if we could just take on that ownership, it's ours, we get to decide. I'd love to hear your input when you're not yelling at me, and, you know, move on from there and set up routines and schedules. I think devices are going to self-correct. I think devices will become smart devices, and they'll turn off when you've had enough time, and they won't let you on stuff. I was recently working with a 21 and a 24-year-old, and they were talking about how they are not going to let their kids have devices.
Wow.
That they hate social media.
Where are those kids?
Fascinating. You know, they're like, and it was just really interesting. So I would just use a lot of common sense and awareness and, you know.
One thing that we've done in the last several years, so I don't know, maybe 3 years ago we did this, was what we, Monday through Friday is kind of dark. There are no devices, there's no TV, etc. during the week. And then on the weekends, then the girls can do their thing, have their moments, but also within certain limits in the morning. Then we take a break during the day, and then around dinner and stuff. I mean, we fail to adhere to that strictly all the time.
Yeah.
But as far as there, just, you know, thing. You know, and again, like you said, we're pioneers. So there is not really this thing writ anywhere.
No.
It's like we're figuring it out. So within that, during the week without, during the weekend with,
mm-hmm.
what I've kind of learned from that is I think it's important to teach kids and then adults, right, to be okay with it and to be okay without it.
Right.
And then that's, we at dinner, when we go out to eat at a restaurant, they never can have devices,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like, and then just randomly riding around in cars, you know, unless they're sick and then they you
yeah,
know,
yeah, right.
There's always the exceptions, but
right.
those little things
yep.
I've seen, and I feel like are good lessons to learn so they can be without it. And the thing is, when it's available, 100% of the time, it's the default thing that they will do.
Oh, for sure.
So there will never be guitar, drawing, reading, and all that. And so with it not being available, then they start going and drifting and
yeah.
getting involved in other things other than device.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because the way you're talking, Rob, it's you're very sure that that's a good answer for your family. And I think people get a lot more parenting success when they stand in that spot of this 100% makes sense to me and it's reasonable. And so and it's going to look different for different families.
100%. It is,
and
definitely
but I think that's, you know, and I was really restrictive about my kids and the phone at night. And so they would put their phones in my room because I'm a sneak. So I don't trust people. And if I was 14, I would run downstairs and check Instagram. Right. So they went into my room, and both kids have come home and said, you know, thanks, because I can just go to bed.
Hmm.
Because not that they don't, but
it's a habit.
You know, it's
a
habit
that they
yeah.
established.
Yeah, yeah.
That
I established.
That, yeah. Very good. Credit where it's due.
And so, but I think that, so having those limits, even if they don't really love them, because believe me, they did not love those limits. And let me tell you guys that everyone else across America, when they were 14, got their phone in their bed. Every single person. That's yeah. the information they gave me anyway. But you feel like you're all alone making those limits, but you're not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's been wonderful talking to you, Paige. Your advice is always spot on. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah. Thank you, Paige. And kind of the place that you have in our life with really, you know, shedding light on parenting, the fact that we're parents of three kids, it's like that's invaluable. Advice and help and the intersections in our lives. So.
If you want to find out more about Paige, her info is on the Full Service Radio website. Thanks again, and until next time, everyone.
See you later.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.